Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals open up a 7-game homestand tonight, beginning with the Baltimore Orioles. A 6:40 first pitch. Alec Marsh on the bump. The Royals sit at 12-7 on the year. The Orioles 12-6. We were talking earlier in the show that hopefully some nice crowds out there at Kauffman Stadium. It's been a while, even in April the 19th, that there's been a series where the Royals are in this spot where you're feeling good about what they got going on. And we also will keep an eye on later on today. I'm assuming the roster move will become official, that Michael Massey is back with the big league club.
Turn my mic on would help. I would assume so, Gold. Reliable sources indicate to me that it'll be Michael Massey slash every person's common sense of all time. So a little bit of both. Next up on Watch Training, Brett Veach spoke to the media earlier today, said that Kadarius Toney is probably still their most talented wide receiver, hinted that offensive tackle would be at the top of their board, but also indicated the positions they don't think they'd be interested in, at least in the early part, saying that right now they're pretty good at linebacker, corner, quarterback, and running back, at least being some of the positions he mentioned that maybe not going there. Now, look, it's a pre-draft press conference. He could just be lying. But at the very least, Brett Veach trying to give us some indication. If you missed any part of that, 610sports.com, it'll be up on our podcast page.
Next on What's Trending, it is college basketball transfer portal season. Yesterday, we mentioned the Wisconsin transfer and going to KU. Today, news involving Missouri basketball. Duke transfer forward Mark Mitchell, former five-star, committing to Mizzou, also has ties to the area, KCK. Averaged 11.6 points, 6 boards, and assists per game this season. It's kind of weird what's going on in Durham with Duke. They've had another kid enter the portal. And a lot. Look, everybody transfers, but it's weird to see as many out of Duke, where John Shire seemingly has done a very nice job already. Although pretty soon there'll be, I think, some pressure on him to take the next step. But it was kind of weird to see another transfer, but a big get for Dennis Gates in Columbia.
Yeah, you got to remember, he has one of the best recruiting classes in the entire country anyway coming in. They did not win a single damn conference game last year, so they got a lot to make up.
Yeah, it's the second transfer he's landed. He landed Tony Perkins from Iowa as well, like last week or a couple weeks ago.
Missouri during the...
From heavyweights?
Missouri. I love that movie. Oh, my goodness. Missouri.
That's one still of, a drop I used to use all the time. Yeah. I regret not. I said, does Cody want to have some fun? Okay, Cody. Let's have some fun.
Missouri was one of Mark Mitchell's finalists when he was coming out of high school, along with UCLA, and then he chose Duke, and now he's choosing Missouri.
Nice. Lost a local kid the first time, but got him back around. That still works. Next up on What's Trending, FedEx admits, or it announces, they're committing $25 million to Memphis's NIL budget over next several years. But, I mean, that's nuts. And these big corporations getting in on NIL, that's how the boosters will get out of the NIL market. Big local companies inside the market, this is where some places like Missouri will be hurt. Like, Oregon can just be like, hi, Nike, can I have some money, please? And they'll just be like, yeah, sure, here's a bunch of money, Oregon, it's fine. Or in this case, Memphis can be like, hey, FedEx, money, please? It's a good way to do it in NIL where you're not going directly to the boosters. That's a lot for FedEx to commit.
And it's not to say that Missouri, there's still plenty of wealthy business owners.
Sure,
and
folks. I'm just saying it's not FedEx.
It's not FedEx or Nike.
It's like Arkansas with Tyson Foods, you know,
right.
Or Jerry Jones. You have the random people who are in other areas, I guess, of work.
Lastly on What's Trending, don't forget, coming up on Thursday, our draft party at The Landing in Liberty. It's presented by Hy-Vee, the official grocery partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. First round, going to have to wait a little while till pick 32. Maybe the Chiefs trade up, but we'll be up there all night hanging out. The Character Concerns crew, Bink and Chris Nocero, going to be broadcasting live. And you got a chance to win $610 plus some Chiefs merch. You can go to 610sports.com right now. You'll see there's a draft form. How do you see the draft going? It's pretty simple. You get points for picking the player, and if you pick the right team, and whoever has the most points will have a chance to win $610. So we'll have some fun with that. Looking forward to the first round of the draft. It's coming up next Thursday in Liberty at the Landing. And that is what's trending. And coming up in about 25 minutes or so, the debut of a new song. Cody has promised.
Correct.
You have promised to get Mikel Garcia out of his slump.
That's right. No, tonight's his night.
No pressure. No pressure here.
He is 0 for his last 23. As you recall, when we did this with Vinny, and he was really struggling. It worked. Vinny's been hitting 500 since. Mikel could use a little juice. I have made a brand new song for him, and it's titled his name, Mikel.
Okay.
That's the name of the song.
You have promoted it more than Taylor Swift's new album, I think, in the last 48 hours.
Probably. I'd like to make sure that people know that it's coming.
12:30, though. 12:30 today is when you're going
to
have a chance.
24 more minutes to hear it.
We're also an hour away from Harold Koops joining us in studio for a little Club 610 on a Friday. But let's get back to the Royals particularly. Yes, the attendance this weekend is something we're all going to be keeping an eye on, but also knowing how this division has started. I mean, we already knew going into the season it wasn't going to take a 90-win season to win it based off of the quality of the division. But man, you look at some of the projections that are out there. FanGraphs is the one we're discussing. FanGraphs, this will update throughout the whole year. Their updated projection in the AL Central has the Twins, who are actually not in first right now, but
actually in fourth,
they are projected to finish still first. They're 6-11. They project them with 81.3 wins. They project the Guardians with 81.1, the Royals with 80.6, the Tigers with 80, and then the White Sox with 60.
So 1.3 wins before difference between the top four teams in the division. And kudos to Jesse Newell for looking it up for us and sending out that tweet yesterday. It says that the Royals have a 33% chance to make the postseason. That sound right to you? 33%? Well, a 1 out of 3 shot?
It's great to hear, and it's great to see that. I think the question will be, and this is why this weekend series is in the next seven games are big. Orioles and Blue Jays, two teams that very well could be
playoff
teams.
Blue Jays are about 500.
Yeah, and you're starting to look at the upcoming stretch of 500 games. It's so tough to tell because teams that we entering the season perceive to be good, are they actually, you know, the Astros, for example, off to a rough start. We all still think they're going to be there, but are they not? You look at the Royals' schedule. We know they played the White Sox a ton. Eventually, things balance out in terms of scheduling. And so how much is that why the Guardians are 12-6, why the Royals are 12-7, the Tigers are 10-8, and why the Twins are 6-11? Like, do you think the Twins are going to end up actually being fourth best team in this division? I don't. I think the Twins, when it's all said and done, are going to be right there at the top of the division. So is it schedule, injuries? This all comes into play. The schedule will balance out eventually, but it's just kind of interesting how this has started. And because of that, that's why you get a projection where it has four teams with 80 wins, essentially, which would mean an unbelievable month, an unbelievable summer of months of baseball, which is all we've asked for, right? That we're here in August and September and that the Royals are right there and they're within a couple games of first place. That projection would guarantee a hell of a summer.
Like, so many of the things are repeatable. That's why 33% doesn't seem crazy to me. Normally, I would say this early in the season for a team who was, I think FanGraphs preseason projections for the Royals were like 1.5%. I am not even joking. I think that was the actual percentage chance FanGraphs gave the Royals to make the postseason before the season started. 1.5%. Teen Ulti over on Twitch have pointed out, like, they have yet to allow an unearned run. They rank out as one of the best base running team in baseball, one of the best defenses in baseball, second best ERA in baseball. There are so many things that aren't just going well. Some of them are incredibly sustainable. You can worry about the starting pitching numbers coming back to reality in a little bit, but so will the rest of the league, right? Everyone will level out to some level and everyone will hit more in the summer and these things that go with it. Defense, base running, competent bullpen play. Just as long as the offense and guys like Mikel Garcia find their levelness out of the rest of this, there's no reason to think that they got a 1-3 shot to do it. I still say that it's through the Really, I'm saying they got a 1-3 shot of winning the division.
Yeah, I don't believe the wild card's coming
out. Yeah, the AL East is too damn deep.
Heck, even this projection is saying 80 wins. 80 wins not good enough to get you a wild card spot. So, as of right this second, if you were wondering and you want to have some fun and dream a little bit, as we all can, the Royals would have the second wild card spot right now if the postseason began this weekend.
Only half game out of winning the division, though, and the second spot overall.
But I am with you. I still think whether you're the Twins, Guardians, Royals, Tigers, you got to win the division. If you want to actually go to the postseason, what is exciting though is that if this division is going to be competitive, as it sure seems like it's going to be, and we thought going in, it just so turns out that the Royals are going to be a bigger factor maybe than most realize.
It's going to be top four teams, not three.
It's going to be a great summer. Like I said, the bar is so low. Now we'll get greedier and greedier as the year goes on, I'm sure. If it's July and they're three games up, we're going to start really dreaming. But if you are in the hunt all summer long, that is an unbelievable turnaround from the 56 win season that you had a year ago.
If they won 76, it was going to be an impressive turnaround. 20 wins in a single season is an impressive turnaround. They're projecting 25 wins better than what they were just last year. Look, I want them to make the postseason. And I would, you know, like right now you'd be like, well, they're in a postseason spot. Why would you only put it at 30%? That's where it's a little too early to give them a higher percentage chance than that. It is still April 19th.
Yes.
I don't have to give them a 50-50 shot, a 64. I don't have to go higher than this. Like a 1-3 shot, if you had told me that at the end of April, hey, Alex, at the end of April, they got a 1-3 shot of making the postseason if you're the Royals, I would have signed up.
Of course.
So fast for that. And look, now my expectations get to change a little bit depending on what happens over the next 3 to 4 weeks. Right now, my expectations are still the same. Be competitive all damn season. And I don't know if that was my expectation going into the year, but I went from be competitive for part of the year, be competitive the entire year is my new expectation, and we get 3 or 4 or 5 more weeks into this, and then my expectation is going to be like, how do you make this team make the postseason? Vern said people are already calling in the postgame, asking who the hell they're going to trade for.
Yeah, I mean, look at the next couple of games. So the Orioles, that's a team that's above 500. They also have 12 wins. You got 3 against them. You're taking on the Blue Jays. That's another team that's above 500. Tigers, we just mentioned them and where they're projected on the same Fangraphs projection, essentially right where the Royals are at. That's the next stretch between now, the 19th, and the end of the month. That's what you got. So it's an interesting test. It's a good test for them going forward. And I still think at some point, maybe hopefully it doesn't happen in May and hopefully it doesn't happen at all, but you will have some sort of injury. And how do you handle that? Because the Twins have dealt with Carlos Correa was out for a couple games, I think, with some injuries. We know the Guardians just lost Shane Bieber for the season. What
some
happens?
Some of those guys aren't coming back. You know, the Royals might suffer an injury that's a month, but some of those Bieber's not coming back.
And we all think Michael Massey's coming back tonight. So suddenly, do they get an upgrade at second on the defensive end to already go with some better defense? Do they get a little more pop in the lineup with Massey? All that is a possibility as well. The actual division odds right now, consensus essentially at no matter whether you're betting at ESPN Bet, FanDuel, or whatever, the Royals have the fourth best odds there to win the division still. So the Guardians are the favorites now at plus 130. The Twins were the favorite heading into the season. The Twins plus 210, Tigers plus 440, Royals plus 470. And at one point you could have got the Royals at 10-1 back in January. I got a ticket with our buddy Heiss on a 30-1 ticket. I obviously love where things are trending. It's way too early to get, you know, thinking
it's
you're cashing
a
ticket.
Hedge, but it's a good ticket.
It's a hell of a value ticket now at 30-1, seeing that they're down to almost 4-1.
Yeah. It's just expectations can change. And you and I have talked about this. You don't change them for a week or any of the things in between there, but I saw that number, and I wasn't, like, disappointed that that was the number. I was excited that they thought it was that high. The Fangraphs thinks this division is going to be an absolute rock fight, which is good for the Royals if they're in the fight. Now, that means every single divisional game is going to matter a lot. I will say that. For games that are less in volume than they used to be because they wanted you playing every single team in the league at least one time in the year, the division games are now going to matter a lot because, first, that's where American League tiebreakers are going to come from inside the Central. Divisional record will matter. Royals are off to a great start in that department because they kicked the teeth in on the White Sox for 6 out of 7 games.
They also don't
get to
play the White Sox again until July. So now you get a chance against the Tigers starting next Friday.
Yeah.
You get 3 against the Tigers, and then if you take a look, they don't play, as you and I looked up earlier, they don't play the Guardians for
until
a bit.
May.
Not in May, until June.
They play
the Tigers 3 times in May. They play the Twins in a 4-game series in May. I mean, so you still have a ton of divisional games, more so in the second half of the season, at least with the White Sox.
But those come at greater importance now, and that's fine. but they just come at greater importance. If the division really is going to, let's just say it finishes anywhere close to this, and there's three teams that are all finishing in the 80s wins between 80 and 85. Well, damn, the difference between winning and losing the division is one three-game set against the Twins in the middle of the year, one three-game set against the Guardians in the middle of the year. Those will become important. We'll talk about those series that way, just as long as the Royals keep playing this way.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Michael.
Can't wait. You know what? It's a good one. I don't know if it's my best. That's hard to say. How many songs do you think we've made on this show now at this point? Like 20?
15 or so, yeah.
If we include all the happy birthday iterations, it's more.
The Sounder. It's a mock draft, man. Another mock draft. Drew's staring at us, giving us a dirty look.
Sorry, Drew.
I was waiting.
I hope it's a good one.
This is a three-rounder from Pro Football Focus. Some newer names in this one, including a trade-up and a trade-down, as a matter of fact. In this, speaking of what Brett Veach said and the possibilities of either or happening, they think that the Chiefs trade up from 32 to 26. That would be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Chiefs would give up the 32 overall pick, around 4 and around 5 for this year, to draft A.D. Mitchell at 26.
It does kind of feel like you're going to have to go up if you want to get him.
He seems like the wide receiver that you probably can't sit at 32. I'm with you. That's similar to Bink's mock draft. I know Bink and Christian Osero, Character Concerns podcast, and you can catch the show tomorrow at 10 a.m., by the way. His mock had the Chiefs trading up. I think it was to 23, but still trading up to 23 to get A.D. Mitchell. So that seems to be a thought process by a lot. The question is, how high do you have to get? Because we know Buffalo's sitting at 28, and they're taking a wide receiver. They might even trade up.
Then in the second round, they get some tackle depth, offensive tackle depth, with Yale's Kieran Amagaji.
Oh, I haven't heard that name at all. Who's that guy?
His story?
What are his arms? Just real quick, before we get anywhere in this
thing.
Kieran
Amagaji. Amagaji.
36th and an eighth.
The long arms.
Those are long arms. We're okay. 6'5", 323 pounds.
And not to say that somebody from like the FCS schools like Yale couldn't start right away, but he's a good depth piece where you see like the arm length and maybe in if he's available, you like the size, potential. Not a starter right away in all likelihood, but a good depth piece.
Yeah, we heard from Brett Veach, throughout the press conference today, earlier at the start of the show, mentioning, as you said, you would hear hot zone, it was hot spots.
Hot spot.
And the hot spot, O-line, receiver, and corner, is what Brett Veach said.
There, and he mentioned that once you get to 35 or 40, the guys that are top tier go away, but at 64, you get some value there with Kieran Amagaji. And then what they do, obviously, they don't have a third rounder. What they do is they trade that third rounder to Tennessee. They get two additional picks. They get the fourth and a fifth back. So they give up a fourth and a fifth and 32
to go up to
26. They give up their third to get a fourth and a fifth back from Tennessee.
Feels like a lot of move. It doesn't feel like enough picks for Veach, does it? Like, that's my big hang up.
So essentially, in the first four rounds,
like,
they would have three picks. And in the first four rounds, they get three picks.
Do they view A.D. Mitchell? And this is why it's funny. We don't know the answer. Do they view him as the guy that has separated himself compared to the guy you can get at 32 or the guy you're going to get in the middle of the second round? Like, is he that much better? Or is it, hey, the guy that might be the, let's call it the sixth best wide receiver on your board, how much better is he than the guy that's the ninth best receiver on your board? And if the gap is small, then you don't need to trade up. But if you think, let's just keep using A.D. Mitchell because that's who's in the mock.
Yeah.
Is he that much better than Leggett or whoever else you think is there at 32? And that's the decision you have to make. Not to mention, I think we continue to hear more and more like how difficult it is for the Chiefs to get trade partners. And that's why it's harder and harder for me to like all these mocks talking about trading up. Like, I think it's in play, but who's helping you? There's some NFC teams, not Tampa Bay
in this example, potentially is a team that's like, you know what? Sure. Or Arizona, they have 27.
Can I say that this is why teams aren't going to catch up with the Chiefs? This notion that there's all these teams in the AFC to be like, hey, if you're coming up with me, I want twice the value, triple the value that it's worth. Being that, and look, the Chiefs have traded up and they've made you look stupid a couple of times. But either fix your own internal evaluation of the situation and draft the right player. You cannot be afraid to trade with the Chiefs just because of the Chiefs. If they are the team willing to give you the value and you want to trade down, you should take their value.
I hear you, but we used to say this in Kansas City too, though. Whenever the Patriots made a trade, we're like, what do they know that nobody else knows? Like, that, yeah. I mean, it's not just, it's unique to the Chiefs right now because they're the dynasty. The same thing happened during the Patriots dynasty. I remember we would be, maybe not on this show because we weren't doing a show yet, but like, I do remember there would be Patriots moves, and as sports fans, we all had the same reaction. All right, the Patriots made trade for whoever, and we're like, all right, what do they know about that guy they're just parting ways with, and what the hell do they know about the guy they're trading for? Like, that's a real thing that happens. I agree with you that, hey, if you just think it's the right move, if you're the Bills or whoever, just go make the trade you think is bettering your team. But I think there is the fear factor that exists.
But when they trade it up, for, you know, like, it's not like they're all home runs. They trade it from a cold. It's not like, wow, they killed us. We've gotten beat. Draft, you're all taking guesses. In the draft specifically, trading down is just about getting extra chances. That's all you're asking for. If you aren't ready to pick at 24, the guy you want at 24, the value doesn't make sense. And the Chiefs are the team that's willing to allow you to move five or six spots. I understand the notion. I would feel this way about anybody trading up, except for the first five picks when they're obviously taking quarterback. The first five picks, anybody who traded up with me would be like, ooh, who is it you think they like? Like Mazi Smith. That happened with the Cowboys a couple of years ago.
That's
the Cowboys were worried that the Chiefs wanted Mazi Smith. And so they were like, pass. You want the same player we want, we think. So no thanks. That's the guy we want. But if you think your guy's available five picks later and you like the value, you shouldn't be afraid to change with the Chiefs just because of that. I'm not saying it's not happening. Brett Veach made it very clear today. That's for sure happening. Yes. Teams don't want to trade with the Chiefs.
And in regards to them in this scenario, I guess, with this mock draft, they go from 95, that third round pick, to 106. So they drop 11 spots, but they get the extra fifth round pick. With that fourth round pick, by the way, they take Jerrion Jones, a corner from Florida State. So they would end up going wide receiver, tackle, corner.
That's not. That's We've fine. Said that, that's a perfectly fine order of players.
Yeah, as long as the core. If you told me they were drafting a corner in the first round, I would say I'd rather than just trade out of the first round. Like if whoever they view what
instead the whole of picking best, like the best player available, they move back to
let's
sure
say
they get a guy.
They couldn't get wide receiver or lineman at 32, offensive lineman at 32, and the best player on their board is a corner. I would rather them, again, this goes back to trying to find a trade partner, but I would rather them trade out at 32 than just take a corner because he's the best player available at 32. I would rather them get another third round pick and go and actually get the middle range, you know, pick 40, a wide receiver then.
And yeah, in terms of stacking picks, I think that makes the most sense because of what, like we talked about earlier is, and what Brett Veach said is it seems like the first three rounds are the power of the draft, and then there's a significant drop off after the third round where if you can move back from 32 to 37, you can still get a wide receiver. Maybe you miss out on McConkey. Maybe you miss out on Mitchell. You miss out on maybe Troy Franklin, but you can get Keon Coleman at 37 or 38 plus bag an extra third round pick. You might you're still getting good value even though you're dropping six picks and you're getting an additional pick for the top three
rounds.
It
still requires you to get it right. Look, I don't think anybody was right, but we talked about this, ad nauseum. I think Gold was ready to leap. But like during the Sky Moore thing, they traded down just like five picks in the Sky Moore draft. And then like three wide receivers went directly in front of them. And I'm like, hey, look, it's fine. And I hope that Sky Moore is the player that you liked more because otherwise, especially in that case, it's like, I'm going to directly compare all these wide receivers.
You don't
want
to get caught in that scenario again, essentially.
We're two or three wide receivers. And one was like Tyquan Thornton. It's not like it meant, you know, like, again.
It was the Thornton, Pickens, and Sky Moore thing, wasn't it?
Wasn't even Pickens went earlier, I think, in that run, or was it in that same?
That was who people were trying to compare the pick to, I remember. I thought.
Oh, no, it was Pickens. Yeah, they traded away the pick that became George Pickens.
Yeah.
Then Alec Pierce and Tyquan Thornton. Those are the people that went ahead. So, look, two of them, you weren't, like, way wrong on. I think all three of those guys are more productive than Sky Moore. You, unfortunately, traded back, and all three
Pierce
of the guys above
okay.
you are currently more productive. Yeah, Pierce is not a good wide. Pierce is not a great wide receiver. He's better than Sky Moore. But that's a low bar right now. Sky Moore hasn't produced at any level. So that's easy to say. I don't think Alec Pierce is a world beat. I'm not like, oh, no, they didn't get Alec Pierce.
Right.
I'm fine. The only one on that list that you're like, oh, no, they didn't get is Pickens. That's it. So it just depends on getting it right. I don't have a problem with the Chiefs trading down for the same reason other teams should be willing for the Chiefs to trade up. It's about getting more chances. I don't remember which pick they got for the George Pickens one. It might have been that fifth round offensive tackle that eventually didn't work out. But
was
in
that
a different
Kennard?
Year,
that was Kennard. That was Kennard.
But in the other years, it might have been Smith, like Trey Smith. So I'll take the chances a lot of times.
All right, coming up next, it worked for Vinny Pasquantino. Cody says it's going to work for Michael Garcia starting tonight. A new song next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm now going to go up against new Taylor music.
New album dropped last night. Travis Kelce was already goated on the football field, but now I just think goated in pop culture. You have Taylor Swift writing songs about you. It's over. It's over.
Man.
Nobody can say anything anymore. It's done. All the conspiracy theories
you're still together.
About it. And they're still together. Yes, you didn't get the breakup song. Yeah.
She got plenty of those in there, too. It seems like there's plenty of shots being taken.
Yeah.
I'm just trusting other people. Someone said Kim Kardashian gets a shot taken at her. Some other ex-boyfriends.
You get 31
we
songs.
We can't argue behind a Kim K diss.
It was something like thanks Kim or something. It spelled out the capital letters were just the K and the I and the M or something. Again, like you said, this is all based off of
What's their beef?
The Swifties. I don't remember the whole backstory. But the new Taylor Swift album is out. We'll get to the random question of the day in about 10 minutes or so. But you have promised a song. We got you to hold off until Friday. We said you got to wait till the doubleheader's over. Unfortunately, he was out of the lineup Saturday or Wednesday night.
Yeah, the second game he didn't even play.
Mikel Garcia struggling, right? He's in a slump. Vinny Pasquantino was in a slump. You re-sang an existing song, Pasquantino, and immediately results. Now you are about to have a new song called Mikel that is supposed to get Mikel Garcia out of the slump. Are you worried at all that the energy towards this is going to mess the energy up with Vinny?
A little, but, you know, Vinny will back me up. He's got, a 5 or 6 game hitting streak going on. He hasn't had a game without a hit. He's hitting 500 during that time. I feel good about Vinny. I tried to avoid the thing you're describing about to put a few things in the song, and I'll explain right before, and then we'll play it. A few things in the song that I think at least mirror Pasquantino. Part of the reason I chose this song is the name of the previous song was Pasquantino. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. The name of this song is Mikel. Okay, great. That's his name. That's Pasquantino's name. We're good there. Good start. There's a play-by-play highlight from Jake Eisenberg in both songs, right? I do not sing Spanish in this one, but the rest of it, you know.
I thought with Mikel, there actually would have been a more likelihood that there'd be some Spanish. Okay, all right.
No Spanish in this one. So without further ado, this is my song, Mikel. You make sunshine. Love to watch you play. It was cold outside. Your hit 300 in May. Shout hooray, Mikel, talking about Mikel, ooh.
Garcia punches it high in the air, deep right center field, O'Hearn into the gap, onto the track, at the fence, it's over his head, off the bottom of the wall. Lofton's already at third. He rounds the bag and comes in to score standing. And Garcia sprints to third. He's there standing. A two-out RBI triple.
I don't need no home runs. Fortune or fame. Oh, singles and doubles, baby. One man can claim. Well, shout hooray, Michael.
Michael.
Michael. Talking about Michael.
Michael. Talking about Michael.
You make sunshine, love to watch you play, Michael. You'll hit 300 in May,
Michael.
Well,
that's it. That's that my girl.
So My Girl by the Temptations from the 60s into Michael 2024.
You know what? Bringing back the hits. Bringing back the classics.
That was very good.
I had
good.
To layer my own voice in that
part
song.
That was the most impressive part, I think. This part, though, anytime you do this, this part is where it's like, that's the only part that always gets uncomfortable.
That one's not bad. That one's part actually a pretty decent ooh.
That one gets a little... That better work. That better work is all I got to say. And better work. If he goes 0 for tonight.
He's not going 0 for tonight. Did you hear that song? No chance. Matter of fact, this is one of my best reviewed text line songs ever. Although the first text I see is,
it's a mixed bag.
Quit letting Cody sing.
Someone says,
please use that Professor Bunny for singing lessons. Creative. Falsetto is something is how I'm going to read that. 8.5 out of 10. Horrible. What am I listening to? But this is incredible. Absolute super hot fire. Well done. Mm. So plenty of people that are supporting my endeavors. A lot of people who hate it, but a lot of people who like it. And that's what matters here. Also, that was good guess, by the way, Drew. I don't know how you
Drew nailed it.
By the way, the picture
he gave Desmond, it away earlier.
Yeah, he did. The picture Desmond Drew was a B.
Mm.
I'm assuming we've all seen the My Girl movie.
Okay.
It was so the reason that the thing that gave it away was when you said it was called Michael. I was like, there's only one
Michael.
Yeah, it just
I think somebody on the text line maybe mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and I was kicking around songs with a couple of people like, what makes sense? And I really was gonna do, I had already started to write Garcia Garcia to the tune of Maria Maria, and then My Girl came up, and I was like, oh, I gotta do that. Like that one came up, and when I heard it a couple of times, I'm like, that's the one. That's the one. There is a video to accompany it now up on social media at 610 Sports KC.
What I will say is I think song choice wise, this was the best song choice, as in the best cover. Like, as in My Girl, Michael, that was the best.
It's never going to be able to be used for any other player,
saying.
Right? You can't like reuse the name.
I'll give you that for sure. Someone's like, have you not been sued yet for these songs?
Like someone's coming at me legally? No one's come after me. I think you're technically allowed to do parody. I think Weird Al like opened up the world for this. You're allowed to do parody to at least some point. No one has technically come after me yet, but we'll see. Time will tell. Honestly, that'll only bring more juice to this show. They start suing me for these songs, then we've got a whole nother. I used to do some originals. Now I've just been doing covers.
The goal of it is to get Michael Garcia going, starting tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. Leading off tonight, hopefully people pack the K a little bit. We see more than 20,000 out there.
What do you think, what qualifies? He's 0 for 23, so any hit feels like it's already working in the right direction.
But so if he goes 1 for 5, you're taking credit?
No. 1 for 3, though.
Okay, all right.
I take a 1 for 3 night. But at 2 for 4, we're
in. 2 for 4, for sure.
Yeah,
2 for 4 and an RBI are just 2 for 4, period.
Good stuff. All right, well, look, that's my song. Someone says parody law, you should be fine. Immediately a top 3 song with the first lyrical lines.
Oh, again, I think cover-wise, it's the best fit.
If this works again, I'm going to start thinking I'm a magician. And like, what am I doing right? What is this show doing right that is helping these players get out of these slumps?
I told you that's my greatest fear.
I'm telling you, players, if they go into a slump, are going to start requesting. They're going to start DMing you, Cody. Please.
Have you already thought of Melendez songs?
I have not. He's 0 for his
I
last 20.
I figured you already
20.
Had.
No, I haven't. I haven't even scratched the surface of that. Does somebody have it? I like the two texts are can't wait for Cody's greatest hits, knocked it out of the park. The one right before that is swing and a miss.
It's 50-50. It is a true
50-50 means it's a good song for me. I've never had one that was like 100% everyone was happy with it. Someone says Weird Al has to get permission to parody those songs.
Well,
I'm not
profit.
Yeah, I was gonna
I'm
say,
not trying to profit. Yeah. I don't think.
We're not profiting unless you're hiding funds. I don't think we're profiting off of the show fund hasn't gained a dime since the songs have come out.
I like these player songs. I had a real boy. I almost made it with so many different songs. My Girl was the right choice. How did you guess that? You said just the way I said it.
It was because you said, I think
on air.
He was thinking just songs that would fit. You said it's just called Michael.
And you're like, what makes
Michael,
sense?
Michael, my girl.
Said it's not called Garcia Garcia. The title is Michael.
And then you heard it. Like,
and
then
I was
my
thinking,
girl.
Michael, like you were able to separate the name.
You wrote a love song to Michael Garcia. Mm. That's what you did. Hopefully it works.
You did claim he's hitting 300 in May as well.
That's a bold stance.
Well, we'll see, won't we? I stand by my prediction. Well, he's not going to be able to get his average up to 300 in April. I don't think that's plausible based on the number.
Probably
I'm just
not.
Saying he's going to start hitting now, and then in May it's going to go even better.
Mm.
That's what I'm predicting for the song. That by that time, he'll be good. Text line's being funny. With that song, I hope he's not allergic to bees. He's probably okay. Someone says, why is he leading off still? Because they don't have another logical answer, unless they want to switch over to Massey, and they don't typically, I'll be honest, like, it's still just 19 games into the year. I don't think very often teams give up on their plan in baseball. 19 games into any.
Well, and when you're winning. I mean, overall, that's why the pressure hasn't been there. Even when Vinny was struggling a little bit. And right now, everybody recognizes Melendez and Michael Garcia both have, I think it's two of the six longest plate appearance hitless streaks in baseball right now. The reason why it's not magnified is because the team's 12-7. Let's just call it like it is. If this team was 6-12, then we're having everybody's, you know, going after and like frustrated and calling for major changes. It's stuff we've been going through for 5, 6, 7 years. But because the team's 12-7, you're like, okay, give them a little more time, which has been my stance with Vinny and Michael Garcia.
Yeah. Your stance has been maybe they're just getting better because time.
Yeah. Well,
and like they're good hitters,
the timing has been good. The timing has worked out perfect.
I could have played that Vinny song any day, and we decided to do it on the night he went 3-for-3 with a walk and 5 RBI for a career night. Let's see what Michael Garcia has tonight in store for the Royals. I hope he gets to hear this one, you know? I hope he... Do you think he's driving in right now? Maybe he heard it on the way in.
You think he was listening and heard it driving in?
It's possible.
Somebody would have to play it for him to hear it, I think.
I was going to say, somebody would have to play it
for him. Do you think I could just send it to somebody on the team and be like, hey, do you mind playing this for Mike later?
So I think it's one of those where you can't play it until after he breaks out of the hitless streak. Meaning, like, I don't think he's probably, the jokes probably aren't the thing he wants to hear while he's in a hitless streak. Once he gets the hit and then he finds out about after, then it's like, Vinny, everybody's loose again and everybody's feeling good. Like, we all heard the post-game stuff from Vinny.
Yeah, you feel
free. Yeah. So I think you got to wait till after he gets out of the hitless slump before, because right now it's probably not funny to him.
I remember it was like, hell yeah, I was frustrated. Isn't that what he said?
Text line says the taking the under, someone says on Garcia. Someone
Fader
else
follow.
Says he can't hit without his glasses. Okay. Someone says not profitable. If anything, these songs are costing you guys.
Listeners, they're actually losing us money. The stations are like, it's fine. You can have the song. You're only hurting our brand. Please take it down, sir.
Cam on Twitter says, the awkward moment when your phone music ID thinks that Cody is the Temptations, because obviously it's the same beat.
It could pick up the background music.
It definitely would. And if you missed it, the video and everything's up on @610SportsKC on Twitter.
I honor the original Temptations video and had me singing in black and white for a portion of it.
I'm watching it now. I hadn't seen it. You're just in your living room?
What was I going to do? Go somewhere else?
You just standing.
I had a limited amount of time. I didn't start working on this song until 36 hours
ago. Standing in the living room.
The fact that Gordon and I were talking about this. We were wondering if you actually made a video or if this is just a lyrical
video
thing. This is great.
There's some highlights. Then there's a highlight of him hitting
Shout
it.
Out,
and
Bally's.
Then there's me. And then there's, yeah, you know. Actually, the audio from the highlight is Jake Eisenberg on 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, I know. I'm just joking about the video.
I think I would rather have this song in my head than the Pasquantino one because it was recklessly in my head.
Yeah, the problem with both of these songs, because like
this one I think is a little bit better to have. Yes.
Well, that's it. That's Michael. You can play it one more time. Remember, I have to leave at 1:30. I got to go to my daughter's dance thing. You can play it for Harold if he missed it earlier.
We can play it before you leave, maybe.
Sure.
We can play it one more
time.
You're
walking out the door.
If you missed it.
As you're leaving.
Yeah, play it. Actually, yeah. Drew, time out. Back time 2 minutes before break and play me out, will you?
Okay.
Just one time before I... Someone says Daddy Day still sits in my head rent-free. We played a very small portion of that song yesterday because Drew said the words... What was the line that you...
It is in there if you want to hear it again.
Oh, hold on. Drew said this yesterday.
But Daddy, I Love Him, number 6 on the album.
Good stuff.
Let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over the text line, 913-586-7610. And of course, on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, we can video stream the show as well. The question I have for you today comes via, we don't try to talk politics on the show. We can just ignore the politics end of it. The question was raised about whether or not iPhones have a monopoly over your life. And one example cited in that is that we are being prejudiced against the Green Dotters.
That's right.
We all have an iPhone on this show. So the question I have today is, should we be ostracizing Green Dotters for their phone choice, or should Apple simply just put into their programming that everyone looks the same and are blue dots?
That was a real take, by the way, that someone actually thinks they should be forced to allow Green Dots to basically be blue dots, as in androids to be blue. Group chat's way better, way easier when everybody's on the iPhone. It just is. It's smoother. If one of us, it would ruin the group chat. If one of us switched to Android today, the group chat would have a different vibe and feel. It's just way easier for everybody involved. And so, yeah, I once had an Android phone, team iPhone, and no, we don't need to change the requirement. Apple shouldn't be forced to have everybody be allowed to have the blue lettering and highlighting, I should say, instead of the green dots.
Well, yeah, because then you can't use like the tap back, like the laughing at this or that. I will say my dad has an Android, but we can still use like the tap back for something that he says. They just can't use it, obviously, because they have...
Yeah, they're, I mean, I just think they're in the group chat. It's not like they're not allowed in the group chat, which is what she was making it seem like.
No, for a while, the thing I didn't like, and recently Apple has updated, the biggest problem I had with it for a while is, and why I would have agreed for a while, that I was frustrated with all the green dots of the world. Our boss is a green dot. But Apple recently changed. The one thing that I had a big complaint about it was I wasn't allowed to leave a group chat if one green dot person was in it. I was just stuck in it forever. Or to literally block every person in the chat. My choices were block every person in this chat or just be in the chat forever. And you're like, well, this is no good. I don't want those two options. I just want to leave it. I just want to back out. When we're all in a blue dot chat together, Gold, if I piss you off, you can just bounce. You don't have to be in the group for a while. You can add and delete people, and you can add and delete as you go. I think for the group chat, it's the bigger problem. On an individual texting basis, I don't care. The only time it becomes a problem is if you're trying to send someone a video. So, for instance, I asked Speck, I'm like, hey, can you put up the Mikel video when it comes out at 12:30? And I try to go to send it to him, and it's like, hey, this is too long. The Android user, man, you can't even send him this thing. It's like, get this down to a minute. I'm like, a minute? I just sent it to Drew. It took 2 seconds. Yeah, I got to limit the length of the video I'm sending to him?
Definitely Team iPhone, man. Definitely siding with Team iPhone here.
I will say this, though. In looking at the commercials that come out, my iPhone that I currently have is probably, outside of processing power, the exact same phone as the new one that I'm going to get in the fall, where there's no upgraded features. It's not good enough of a... There's not a good enough upgrade. Yeah. I'm not going to go away from the iPhone because it's, you know...
At this point, we're kind of used to it.
Yeah, I just... Not that they're not competing against Android, but there's such a power that it's... They don't have to upgrade anything, and people will still get iPhones.
It's kind of like Madden.
Yes.
When you're the only market out there, you're like, the game hasn't changed in 7 years.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to make upgrades. The only game to play, if you want to play NFL football on a system, is Madden. That's the game. You don't have a bat. They don't even have like NFL. I can't even get like NFL Blitz anymore. I can't even just get like
that game is great
sideline version of games, right? That aren't like real football, but at least give me some, you know, itch to scratch.
I don't know. Just like buy whatever phone you want to buy. Nobody's forcing you to buy an iPhone.
Right. Well, I'm just, you're just so used to it that you're just always going to get an iPhone. If you want like better camera quality, definitely do not get an iPhone.
Someone says Apple's a cult. Listen to yourselves. Team iPhone for sure.
They have made us like turn against you guys. Like, oh, green dotters.
Yeah.
It makes me.
It ruins the group chat.
That's the problem. It doesn't ruin an individual chat. It ruins a group chat. It makes it an impossible group. Everyone's videos always come in tiny because like something's wrong with it. Like, hey, that's not coming in. Normally, like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. I got to get out of this chat. Matter of fact, new rule. If you're in a, if we're in a group chat and there's somebody who's a green dot, let's just switch this thing over to GroupMe. Let's just get a WhatsApp.
No,
get a
we
WhatsApp.
Don't need a separate app.
Let's
no,
just get a WhatsApp or a GroupMe and let's just take this to the to a different platform.
That's even worse, though, man. Signing up for a separate app.
Just to talk to that? A group, I've never, I don't have, I've never downloaded GroupMe, actually.
We had, people at our apartment pool decided to do that because of the very issue we're discussing. And so for, I don't know, 2 months, I had a separate app just for that. And
it's fine,
it sucked.
Just like any other
Everybody
text.
Ended up stopped using it anyway, and so now it's not on my phone.
You guys have a, there's a group chat for your.
Yeah, we had friends, people, apartment, yeah. Apartment pool. See, Drew, our apartment, what, this is
they're a community.
Yeah,
you know,
we
unlike your place.
I don't know what
we've
that
gone
is.
Out and had drinks and stuff. Everybody has a good time at our apartment pool. You should get any update on your situation, by the way.
They came to do a mold test today. Don't have to pay for it.
You shouldn't have to pay. For
oh, so it's confirmed. You don't have to pay for it.
I reached out to the powers that be who are not located here. The corporate.
Oh, you went up court. You
I
went up
did.
The ladder.
I was like, why? Not? I was like, I'm not paying for this. And sure enough, and by the way, I wasn't told I have to check with this or it's going to be a little bit. I received an email in like 5 minutes that we would not have to pay for anything. And not to say it's going to happen, but the title of the email conversation was lease termination. So we'll see. To be determined after the test comes back, I guess. So next week, I'm sure I'll tell you guys. Either we're stuck or we're out.
Did the pool chat die or did you guys just go to text?
It died a little bit. There's some of us that still text, and then some of it died, but also like we got annoyed because we were doing it for like one or two people, and that was it.
If you go to GroupMe,
so you
ostracized
these people.
That person stopped. That person wasn't texting in the chat anymore anyway, so we said, well, we don't need to use the app. We're using it for the one person that's not even utilizing the group chat.
You always come back to text messages. Like if you're sending DMs to somebody and you're reaching out, it's like, hey, here's my cell. Like you get... Eventually gets to text message anyways, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Text lines is correct, though. Your complex that you live at is terrible, and you just need to get out. Just flat out need to get out and tell you, hey, this
I think we're
is
almost
it.
There.
Okay.
I'm
don't need to make you pay for your own mold test.
I can't believe you even had to fight for that.
It's their building. It's not. It's their property. Why would you pay for
paying,
their mold test?
You told me there's mold. Why am I paying for it?
That was my argument the entire time is, look, it's not like there is. It's a question whether there is or not. You said that there was, so I should not be paying for this. And yeah.
I think that's a fair point.
All right, coming up next, we've got Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 stopping by for a little Club 610 on a Friday. We'll get his thoughts on what Brett Veach had to say earlier today and what are the expectations this weekend out at Kauffman Stadium.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.